96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Over the past several weeks, there's been a lot of concern about D.C.'s missing girls issue. The police and the mayor say most of them are runaways and that most of them eventually have returned home. City officials have also said that most of them are not connected to sex trafficking. But we do know that it can and is happening right here in the DMV. And tonight we're going to hear from a 19-year-old survivor of sex trafficking. Earlier today, I sat down with her. We're calling her Stephanie to help protect her identity and safety. I asked Stephanie to share her story.
Okay. So I was 16 years old, and I had been working at a movie theater. I was dealing with some family issues, and ultimately, like, by the time I was 17, I had been placed into foster care. So I was able to maintain this job for a while, though, through an independent living program. At this time, I met a guy that just seemed to be normal. We dated for about 9 months. He was older than me. He was about 30. And at the time, I just felt safe and really loved, and it just, he knew who to pick at what time, so. Eventually, the relationship just began to get abusive, and it was just violent at first, like slaps and stuff, but, it was a slow escalation throughout, like, the 9 months. But by the time that I had turned 18, we got in a really big fight, basically in which he said, you can't stay in this program, like, you're leaving, we're leaving. And he took me to the Poconos the next day. He basically just told me that I need to start earning my keep, and that how I was going to do it is by having sex with other men.
Stephanie is from California. And as you just heard, she was taken from her hometown by her abusive boyfriend, who was more than 15 years her senior. Stephanie continues her story, describing her day-to-day fears.
Really scary, but I didn't know how to react. I just kind of felt like this is where I was because I had nowhere else to go. And it's either say yes or get hit. So it's just like, it's just seemed like more of a hassle. So there's like a lot of casinos and resorts in the Poconos. So basically I would just be in the hotel room for, and this was like lasted all to, the Poconos was about like a month. And I just would stay in the hotel room. Like I couldn't go anywhere, and people would just come to the room.
Next, her trafficker took her from Pennsylvania and brought her to the DMV. He continued to force her into a life of sex against her will. And Stephanie says things got worse for him and her.
And yeah, that's where things started to kind of go sour for him, at least. So basically, there was another girl that he ended up bringing down to the Poconos who came to D.C. with us, and she got arrested. And when she got arrested, he took me to Maryland, and a sting operation happened there, and he was caught. He's out. He's free. Well, I was arrested also. They arrested him for sex trafficking, but arrested me for prostitution. They told me that it was to ensure that I would show up to court, and kind of dangled it as like a, if you testify, we'll drop your charges. And ultimately they did, but it was just a lot of, it was like, situation with him was half the battle, and then dealing with the police was another thing, because it's like getting out of the situation, I'm trying to get back into school and just emotionally get my life together, and I have a criminal charge, and I certain at the time I couldn't, there were so many jobs I just couldn't apply for because I have a prostitution charge. Basically they still wanted me to testify against him, but he had only been charged with a misdemeanor, and basically, so with like human trafficking becoming like very prevalent and racketeering being involved in it, what he was charged with is what like a taxi driver who was involved in sex trafficking, like a sex trafficking organization, would be charged with. It was months. It just made no sense. After I know the type of person he is and the people that he knows and the stuff I've seen him do, I wasn't going to testify for him to get 3 months.
There is a happy ending to Stephanie's story. She's now a college student finishing up her freshman year at a local university, and she's hoping to someday become an advocate to help others. For now, her focus is getting her bachelor's degree in public relations. Well, joining me to talk about this now are Denise McCain, Executive Director of the Family Justice Center in Prince George's County, and Stacey Reimer, Founder and Executive Director of the Amara Legal Center, also in Prince George's County. We also want to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Certainly, you can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Or at Daily Drum WHUR. I want to thank both of you for coming in, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Harold. Our pleasure to be here.
Hard story to listen to. And certainly we don't even have the horrific and gory details of this experience that Stephanie went through. Denise, a lot of people assume that girls who are trafficked are snatched off the street, thrown into a van, tied up, and taken away. But that's not really how it happens. Is what Stephanie was saying typical?
It is very typical, and unfortunately, the overwhelming majority of survivors, of which we will call them, of human sex trafficking are not kidnapped. I think we sometimes look at the media and we see these movies such as Taken, which is the one that comes to mind, and we envision girls being grabbed and put in trunks and taken away off to other countries. But the reality of it is that it happens right here at home, and that these are girls who oftentimes are in relationships with their traffickers. They have been groomed for a period of time, and as you just heard with Stephanie, they have relationships with these individuals. They're people that they know and develop a bond with and relate to, and unfortunately find out after the fact that they've been lured into something very different than what they had anticipated.
Why couldn't she just run away?
That's a lot easier said than done. Mm-hmm. And I think when you think about the fact that, you know, there are many challenges. Oftentimes, traffickers will take identification. They don't have licensing. They don't even know where they are many times. They don't have access to resources and people. You heard her talk about being locked in a room. So it's not that simple, not to mention the fact that they're fearful. They're threatened. Their lives are at stake. So it's not something that one would think you could just get up and walk away, but it's just not that simple.
One of the things that is really difficult, even for the girls and young women that move through this process, if they're able to get out, they're still, in many cases, in the criminal justice system. Now, Stacey, the Amara Legal Center really helps them address those issues. What are the hills that they have to climb and the speed bumps legally that they have to deal with?
That's absolutely right. So Stephanie was actually my client.
Okay.
And the part of the story that she didn't share at the end was that we were able to help her get that case dismissed. And then also help her expunge her record in Maryland. So that was a wonderful thing, but it took 1 year. And Stephanie mentioned this, how she wasn't able to apply for certain jobs because of her criminal record. There's a huge stigma there. And the thing that was so interesting about that case, and she's not the only one that's experienced this, law enforcement was actually asking her to testify against the trafficker, and they really were holding that charge over her head. And at the time, she was only 18 years old, and she was a victim of a crime.
Mm-hmm. So it's my understanding that he, during the course of his arrest, was charged only with a misdemeanor. Is that correct?
That's correct. He was charged with a misdemeanor, and in the end, that charge was actually completely dropped.
Okay. So what other issues do these young women have to deal with the criminal justice system? Obviously, you've got representation in court. You've got expungement of records. What other issues and resources do they need?
So specifically for legal issues, a lot of times they also might need a protection order, a civil protection order, otherwise known as a restraining order. However, that is not always the safest thing for these clients. Sometimes that might cause retaliation from a trafficker. So we do give legal advice on whether or not it's a good idea to even move forward with a civil protection order. On the family law side of things, a lot of times they will have children in common with their trafficker, and they need to gain custody of that, of their children. And then there's also divorce law. Maybe they're married to someone who has been abusive to them. And then finally, we do a lot of victim witness advocacy. So when someone is being asked to testify against their trafficker, they have rights. Crime victims have rights. And they're allowed to be present for the different court proceedings. They're allowed to read a statement at the sentencing hearing. And so we really try to help represent their interests throughout the process.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about sex trafficking tonight and the difficult realities of it. If you have a question, if you have a comment, please give us a call. We are taking your phone calls as well as your questions and comments. Let's go to Cindy calling from Upper Marlboro. Cindy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was listening to the program, and it just happened to strike a nerve because I spoke to a young lady just today about being approached. She was approached in Springfield Mall in Springfield, Virginia, and a lady approached her and asked her a lot of questions and asked her if she wanted to be a model and she could go with a Fortune 500 company and ask for her phone number. She actually thought this young lady was young, but the young lady is about 26 years old and wise, very wise. She spoke to her. She told her all the information. She took her phone number. And then the lady called her. So she went to the police. And the police were very casual about it and said, okay, we'll check it out. So it's very disturbing. And for this young lady, they just kind of brushed her off as if it wasn't really a major deal, but it is a major deal. I have two daughters myself, and it was very surprising that they didn't go to investigate or tell her that they were going to do a sting operation or something just to find out what this was all about. Mm-hmm. It wasn't real. It wasn't a real interview. It wasn't a real company. Not meeting in a hotel across from Springfield Mall.
Yeah. So. Well, Cindy, thank you so much for your phone call. We really appreciate it. And we're going to have our panelists react to that on the other side of this break. So give us a call. We're talking about sex trafficking tonight. What to look out for? What do you tell your daughter's friends? We're going to talk about the dangers on the other side. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.